Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Hey everybody, welcome to another exciting edition of the Fansmanship.com podcast. This is actually episode number 49, so it's hard to believe that we've already done 49 podcast episodes here on Fansmanship.com, but we have. In 2013, we're making a few other steps forward, strides forward, including the fact that you can now find us on Stitcher. Stitcher is a website, Stitcher.com. And basically what it does is it stitches together all your favorite podcasts and radio shows into your own personalized stations. So you could, for instance, set it up to have it play the Fansmanship.com podcast, followed by whatever other podcasts you want to have on there. Just make sure that the Fansmanship podcast is first, and it's pretty easy to find on there, so you shouldn't have too much of a problem with it. On your smartphone. I use it on my iPhone all the time while I'm working out. I listen to all kinds of podcasts that are really great. Dan Patrick, Adam Carolla, all kinds of sports podcasts. Jay Moore is on there as well. There's millions of podcasts on there that you can listen to. And the Fansmanship.com podcast is definitely one of them now. So we're proud to be a part of Stitcher now. We're also on iTunes, so we definitely encourage you to subscribe to us on iTunes and leave comments and everything else there. That's the Fansmanship podcast. You can just search for that under podcasts. And so we'll go to episode number 49 now. It's somebody who I've wanted to have on the podcast since we actually started the podcast. We talked about kind of local sports personalities who we wanted to get on. And we've had people on the podcast in the past from different media. We've had Bill Halter. We've had Mike Wozniak. We've had Brian Milne and Josh Scroggin. This is CJ Silas. And CJ, I think I first heard CJ on the air, on the radio, while I was in college when she was doing national radio for one of the two or three main national radio syndicated groups in the country. And so it's a name that when I moved back to San Luis Obispo, I thought to myself, man, we have CJ Silas on the air. And I thought it was syndicated at first, but then she was partnered with Mike Wozniak. And I said to myself, wow, this is pretty great for the Central Coast to have somebody with the bona fides that CJ has on the air in San Luis Obispo. So I was really excited when she agreed to sit down and chat a little bit. We talked about all kinds of things, including roller derby. We talked about women in the radio profession and in sports media in general. And CJ's somebody who would know, being a woman and being somebody who's actually written a book about that subject. We are excited to have her on, and without any further ado, I will let you listen to the podcast. Again, it's Owen Main for Andy Stevens and Luke Johnson here on the Fansmanship.com podcast, episode number 49. With the host of the CJ Silas Show on ESPN Radio 1280, here with CJ Silas. CJ, how's it going?
I am the host, aren't I? I'm well, thank you. Oh my gosh, I'm the host.
The host, the owner. You've been the host for a number of shows, and I think people in San Luis Obispo don't always have a good picture for all the shows that you've hosted. So take me back. It sounds like you were at the same radio station that I was at a number of years before me. What's kind of the list of different kind of national stuff that you've done?
National stuff, yes. Owen, I've been around. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Nationally, I started at my first national show on CBS Sportsline and the Sportsfan Radio Network. It was when internet radio was really just coming up in the late 1990s. And Sportsfan Radio Network was one of the first 24-hour sports out of Vegas.
Okay.
They merged. with CBS Sportsline and carried all of our stuff. So we were internet to start, and then we got picked up by
Terrestrial. So you lived in Vegas when you did that?
No, I lived in Miami.
Oh, nice.
In Fort Lauderdale, where CBS Sportsline was.
Okay.
Which is now, I think, just a really good internet sports information site.
Really
I don't
good.
Think they carry any more radio.
And we do our, and I do my fantasy baseball on that site,
Are
too.
Are you a fantasy
good.
Guy?
I'm not a huge fantasy guy, but I'm in a league.
Don't tell a lot of people that. Yeah. Not if you're trying to get dates. and you're married anyway.
Does
she play fantasy?
She does not.
Look, I'm not interviewing
she
you
doesn't,
now, I promise.
She okay. doesn't.
Does she support it?
She not actively, passively supports it, I guess.
Passive support is better than no support.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so CBS Sports fan. Yeah. CBS Sportsline, Sports Radio Network was my first national gig. Then I came back. I was in Seattle for a while locally. Yeah.
Okay.
On the Seattle Supersonics Radio Network at the time.
Okay.
And then I went to, Miami, Seattle, back to Seattle, and then I came here. And I didn't. There was no sports radio station. But when I was here, I was doing Sunny Country 102.5. I was doing mornings.
Really?
10 years ago.
Awesome.
Yeah. And a buddy of mine and a former boss was starting a new all sports network on the F network. I don't even say the name. Sorry, for a lot of reasons. So they were doing a new all sports radio station out at Sherman Oaks on the F network. So they said, come and do afternoons. So then I did the F network. And then I left the F Network when ESPN 1280 locally started here. I'm thinking, I got to get back to the Central Coast. That was the biggest mistake career-wise of my life, I think, was taking that job at the F Network. I made the best money I've ever made.
Really?
And I made a lot of contacts, but I was miserable from day four.
Why?
Well, I'm not really allowed to talk about it, but
cool,
something really bad happened on day four that I can't say, but it was bad.
Okay.
So I knew I'd made a mistake. So I had to wait till the contract was over, and then I came back here to work at ESPN 1280, and then through ESPN 1280, I picked up my national gig on AM Game Day, and then I filled in for Bob Valvano and Jason Smith on the overnight shows
on
ESPN. So, that's three national gigs.
Sure, absolutely. What made you come to the Central Coast originally? What was kind of the impetus? Because it's not exactly like a media hotbed.
No,
right?
It's not. I'm from L.A., and I knew I wanted to come back to California. My ex-husband at the time, who was my boyfriend at the time, he was a chef.
Okay.
And we wanted to get to California, but we didn't want to live in L.A. or San Francisco. We wanted to find somewhere else. So we did this crazy road trip where we packed a rental car, flew from Seattle to Oakland, packed a rental car, and drove the entire coast from Oakland all the way to Tijuana. And stopped in every town to see who had radio and who had good restaurants.
Wow.
And we bet on where we were going to end up. I bet we'd end up in San Diego, and he bet we'd end up in Santa Barbara because San Diego had a lot of radio and some food. Santa Barbara had tons of food. We never thought we would end up in San Luis Obispo. And as we were driving through, and I met Jay Turner, who's the guy at Sunny Country, and I saw this area, I was like, there's something special. So then on our way back up the coast, we stopped again, and we thought, wow, this is the place.
Okay.
So we went to Seattle, filled the rental truck,
and drove
with no jobs, neither of us.
Really?
Neither of us had jobs.
That's a bold move.
It was bold. I was making pretty good money at KJR Seattle at the time, and I was a good spender and saver, and I was just real frugal and smart about it. So we came here with no money but no debt. And as long as you get a job pretty quick, you're okay.
Right.
So we ended up, he got a job first. He got a job in about 3 weeks at a restaurant in Morro Bay.
There's a lot of restaurants.
Tons.
Now.
And at the time, there weren't as many 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And I just kept schmoozing Sunny Country and begged Jay Turner, and 4 months later, I got a job.
Cool.
And that's how we ended up in the Central Coast. And now, I hope I never have to leave.
What was your perception of the area? As somebody who's from around here, I always ask all like the new Cal Poly coaches and things. Like, what was your perception of San Luis Obispo beforehand? Did you like know about it? Was it even in your in your brain? I mean, having been in so many big media markets.
I only knew about it because I grew up playing sports in L.A.
Okay.
And we played teams up here because you guys didn't have enough teams to play in this area, so you always traveled to Southern California.
Right.
So I went to a small school, and I think we played some of the smaller schools up here in sports, so I would come up here to play sports in high school, but I didn't really think about it.
Right.
And then there was this year, the year I turned 21, my brother was in town, he was somewhere, I don't know, and we met in Morro Bay for the weekend.
Oh, okay.
And had this crazy weekend, and I thought, that's cool, but I never thought I'd end up living here.
Right, right.
And it's a small town. It's beautiful. There's so much to do. There are a couple things that's lacking. Diversity a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit. But I love it, and the cities are easy to get to.
Yeah. So we have one big thing in common, and that's that we both really like the Dodgers a lot. We both love the Dodgers. Yeah.
We don't just love the Dodgers. Look at you wearing your Dodger blue shirt. Did you wear that for me?
I did.
So thoughtful.
Yeah, see?
So rad. See my Dodger blue phone? Maybe you haven't seen my Dodger blue car is over there.
Or your
and my
Dodger
blue I always have blue fingernails. Yeah. Yes, I do. I do. And I was leaving the house today. And a guy who works at my new apartment building, because I just moved about a month ago, he walked up to my apartment today and he knocked and he said, Merry Christmas. And, you know, it's January 3rd. What am I thinking? And I don't really celebrate the holidays that much. He handed me an authentic, new Dodger jersey, the gray, and it says Los Angeles.
Really?
I've never had a Dodger jersey because I'm not really, I kind of think Dodger jerseys are kind of geeky on men. But for a woman wearing it with like a cute little tank top under it or put it on the wall.
Yeah. Nice.
So I was, how do you already know? He says, well, I've known you about a month. I've been in your house to take care of stuff. Your car's Dodger blue. You have a little Dodger blue gnome outside your front door. Your phone's Dodger blue. You're always talking about the Dodgers. The Dodger everything everywhere. Okay, I guess you found out.
Yeah, somehow.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask you why you like the Dodgers, because I knew I heard you say that you went to Syracuse, right?
I did.
And so I was kind of picturing maybe you were from back east, but you're from L.A. So that kind of explains the why as far as loving the Dodgers. Does being such an outspoken fan in the business kind of help you or hurt you, do you think, as a
You mean
as somebody,
that I, the reason I keep my fandom?
Yeah, or that, you express it like so clearly. And yeah.
I think it's gutsy. Yeah. I know that we're supposed to be objective. If I was a journalist, I'd be a writer. If I was a journalist, I'd follow a team. I'd be a guy like John Clayton or Chris Broussard or Kevin Blackstone, John Feinstein. I'd be one of those brilliant intellectual guys that can talk about everything.
Right.
But I'm not. I'm a sports entertainer. Uh-huh. Of course, at moments in my career, I've been a journalist for like 5 or 10 minutes.
Some point.
But I truly am a fan first, and I love it when guys like Romy and Colin Cowherd go on the air and, oh, I'm not a fan. Like, it's like it jeopardizes their profession if they're a fan. You know what? Me being a Dodger fan is different because it makes it fun to tell people how much I cannot stand the hated orange and black or whatever it is. But it's not, it doesn't skew my vision, and when it does, I say, well, coming from me, you're not really going to get it. But you don't see me judging the Kansas City Royals by being a Dodger fan. You don't see me covering the Cincinnati Bengals by being a Dodger fan. You just see who I am when I'm a Dodger fan.
Right.
And that's who I am. I'll always be a fan. And nobody tells us what our fandom is like.
Well,
we get to choose it ourselves.
Right. And that's part of the fun with our website, with Fansmanship, is that when we started, we were trying to think of a name for, you know, a sports website around here. And I didn't really want to be held down with, you know, that journalistic part of things. Like, I'm going to be respectful, and I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to act how I need to act when I'm in a press box and everything else.
Of course, me too.
But when it comes down to it, I'm a Dodger fan, right?
No question. First.
And there's no kind of two cents about it.
Can I just ask you, why was it Fansmanship, right? Wasn't it Fans Womanship? I'm just curious.
Yeah, we used to have a... there was kind of a running joke when I was in college with some friends of mine that we'd put manship at the end of everything. So, you know... gamesmanship, words with manship at the end were kind of however much you could use those sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Was kind of just a,
I
guess, a word game. So, you know, fansmanship was
I like it.
Something I thought of that way. Regarding the Dodgers, do you think that they made up for all the money they hadn't spent in the last few years quickly all at once?
They're making me nervous.
Right?
But I think they're using some of their money to remodel the stadium right now, which is very
pictures.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm hoping to get Magic Johnson on my show in the next couple months to talk about the remodel because it's been so long. And whoever built those women's bathrooms is a bad man.
I've never been in there.
Well, of course, you shouldn't have been in there. But it's about time that they upgrade at least the women's bathrooms.
Yeah, okay.
But we still want to keep it Dodger Stadium. Otherwise,
right,
it would
be
Safeco, which I love, but it's still a new stadium.
Right. And one thing that I thought, you know, with the last remodel, I felt like the sight lines on the lower level got kind of blurred. It was easier to see before the remodel.
You sit on the lower level?
I try.
Are you lucky?
I effort.
I never sit on the lower
level. I usually I sit like back, kind of down the line sometimes, back. And so if you're down the line and kind of low down with a new level, with a new, at least where how it was, I guess this is the second new time that those seats have been kind of remodeled or redone. I hope that they kind of make that sight line just a little bit better. I'm sure there's some kind of engineering something that can happen, right?
Well, for me, when I look down there, I don't even think about that. I think about those seats are so good. Why the heck aren't they full all the time? Like, really? Like, if you can't get anyone to sit there, go upgrade someone from the top deck and make it look full. Isn't that a great
idea?
Lots
of organizations do that.
There's no reason
Lots
why
of organizations do that.
Bring those people down because on TV it looks horrible.
Take a page out of like a minor league baseball team's book.
Yeah.
I mean, they do that all the time.
Yeah.
Minor league hockey, like all those do that all the time.
And don't make us flop. You do it.
Right.
Bring us down there.
That's the other thing that I always at Dodger Stadium. And now we're kind of both bitching about the Dodgers here, but one thing I always hate is, you know, when there's nobody sitting there and then you go try to sit and you got the straw hats in the way, and they used to be so nice. I remember in my childhood, the people with the straw hats used to be, the ushers used to be like the nicest people in the world.
See, I don't have a problem with them.
No.
I love them. No.
Okay.
But I think it's how we treat them too.
How we perceive them or how they're treated in general.
Yeah. Because
I don't try to be mean to them or anything. But
they're actually lenient compared to stadiums that are new. Some stadiums will not let you walk down the aisle when there's a batter in the batter's box. And I believe that is so true and good, and you should do that.
Right.
Because when someone walks in front of me, just as the pitch is going over the plate, it really,
also
as a baseball
dangerous.
Fan. And yeah.
And it could be the one pitch of the game that's a home run or something, and you miss it.
A home run or a foul ball right in the head of somebody.
Right.
But I think it's because of the baseball part. Like, you're in my way. Don't you have any ethics?
Right.
Don't spill your beer on me, first of all. And second of all, don't do it when there's a batter in the batter's box.
Did you hear the Giants are coming?
April 1st, 2013.
Giants are coming to Slow.
Oh, yeah.
They're bringing their trophies.
Yeah, whoever they are.
They're bringing all two of their...
Oh, the New York Giants. Really? I love the New York Giants.
The San Francisco Giants brought their trophy the last time they won.
Who?
Yeah, sorry.
They
hated orange and black, sorry.
I know, they're doing that again.
The HOBs.
Yeah.
The Hobbs.
They
sure
are.
Yeah, and
they
so...
They could be the SOBs, but instead they're the HOBs.
So the last time it was here, I came down in my Dodger hat just to watch the stuff.
You did?
I did.
And?
It was fun. I was not the only one with Dodger gear on in Farmer's Market. And but I was asking guys questions. It was like right when we first started our site, and
you were working.
I was trying to
sort of
I was kind of using my droid for the first time and filming video what was going on and whatever. But one guy was like, "You're gonna get shot." I was like, "You're in San Luis Obispo. Like, come on, take a deep breath.
You're gonna get shot. You're gonna be cattle."
Yeah, exactly.
So when is that? I got to remember not to be downtown. Okay. Stay out of downtown.
And it's going to be like down in Santa Maria before and up North County the next day.
Okay, stay in my house all day.
The whole 3 days.
You know what? Maybe the whole month of February.
Sounds good. That sounds good. Do you think Slow is a Dodgers or Giants place, having lived here for 10 years now? I know you said Giants when I asked you before.
Well, I truly believe since they've won two, it's the Giants. I think 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I would have been maybe equal. I'd like to see some more A's fans here. I think that'd be fun.
They're here.
There aren't many.
They're just quiet. They're real quiet.
They are quiet.
And I think
the Milwaukee Brewers fans that are here. They're very quiet.
There's more A's fans than Brewers fans.
Yeah.
Okay, great. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with CJ Silas on the fansmanship.com podcast.
So what is fansmanship.com?
Say what?
We're a sports website by the fans for the fans.
He wants to be a Laker.
For the Central Coast.
Catch the ball.
California,
a sweat-stained glitter Simmons wig,
and beyond.
Tim Tebow.
We love sports. Fansmanship.com. By the fans, for the fans.
Flashing clip-on nipple piercing and pink or purple tanning thong for absolutely free.
Yeah. Fansmanship.com. By the fans, for the fans. Back with CJ Silas of the CJ Silas Show. You guys had a big announcement recently on your show, right?
Oh my
You've been doing Saturday mornings at 8.
9 months.
Which is
like a pregnancy. I just went into labor.
And now you're not going to be on Saturday morning anymore.
No, I'm graduating to Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, and then we're going to grow, we hope, to 2 hours in the next few months.
Okay.
Either 7 to 9, just depending on how it goes. But then the goal is to start talking a little more national and get syndication.
Got it.
So I can stay here and do radio nationally. Get it?
That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah
absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, the more CJ we can get on the radio, the better. As we talked about before,
Thank you.
Somebody in the community who has got skills. So
it's so funny you say that, because I feel truthfully like 23, almost 24 years of doing this, I still find myself struggling to make a place for myself. Whether it's because of me, which it probably is because we have to take responsibility for our own stuff, but also because radio, not like TV, radio has been a lot slower to accept women in the field of sports.
And having been an intern at a radio station that you're at in San Diego too, you know, I'm not going to say that, I'm not going to say that there were no women there, but there were very few, and it wasn't exactly the most welcoming environment.
No, it wasn't.
Let's just
put it that way. It was awful at times, and it wasn't because we were antagonizing. It was just different. When a woman's in the room, men have to act differently. And in the sports world, men are more comfortable in a locker room atmosphere, and women don't want to go in the locker room.
That's how I described it to my friends. Yes, is true. When I was there, I was like, it's like being in a high school football locker room, except like amped up 10 times because of...
I don't know.
Because
why.
They're adults now and they're allowed to act like that in this one place.
And they don't act like that at home.
No.
And they don't act like that in the boss's office.
Right.
Just in the studio, in between and on the air.
Right, right, yeah, absolutely. And not to say I didn't have a great time while I was doing it.
It's the best thing in the world. It's just not the best place in the world to do the best thing in the world.
There you go, there you go. I saw you called doing play-by-play for college football. A dream come true.
It's a dream come
talk
true.
Talk about what you do for Hancock.
You're going to make me cry. I knew I always wanted to do football play-by-play when I was in Syracuse, and I was doing it on the local station that carried Syracuse football. And when I graduated from Syracuse in 1991, there was no way anybody was going to hire a woman to do play-by-play, let alone even be in radio. So it was kind of one of those things I just put in the back of my mind. I had my dream. I had... The levels in which I wanted to hit on my way up to the pinnacle. And the pinnacle for me is a football play-by-play job, a professional baseball stadium announcing job, and a radio show during the week. So that during the football season, I'm extra busy on the weekends. During the baseball season, I'm extra busy on the weekends. But yearly, year-round, I'm doing radio during the week.
Right.
And I never had the chance ever to do football. I don't even think the last time I did football was... anything after Syracuse, because there was no avenue for me.
Right.
I did a little bit of training at Santa Monica City College because they had a radio station, and then I went to Syracuse later, and then I did Syracuse on the local station, but I had no other chance of doing it.
Right.
And so when Hancock approached me 2 years ago,
right.
I freaked out.
Right.
I thought, oh my gosh, do I still have it in me? Can I do it? And when they asked me, roller derby season was... all the same nights as Hancock football.
Okay.
And there was no way for me to even consider it. And the truth is, Owen, at the time, the book was coming out. I had this idea of where my life was going to be.
The book is called?
The book is called No Girls Allowed, The Jock and Jill Mentality of Sports Broadcasting.
Great.
Have you seen it?
I have seen it online. I have not been able to get a copy of it.
Well, there are no
hardcovers. I wanted to read it before I talk to you.
There are no hardcovers left.
Okay.
I can lend you one, but we're working on the softbound and the ebook.
Okay, good.
It's that, baby steps.
I kind of figured that was...
Yeah, it sold out so quick,
and
it was just nuts.
Uh-huh.
So when Hancock approached me the second time...
Uh-huh.
One of my girlfriends, we were hiking. She said, of course you're going to take this job. This is what you've always wanted. How can you turn it down? It's an entry-level job. There's no reason why you shouldn't do junior college because you're not going to get Alabama or USC or Texas. You're going to have to start somewhere. Why not here? And you get to live here.
And you're still here. And you
oh, my
can
gosh.
Do whatever else you were doing.
And I can make mistakes, and I can be rusty and not professional and just work through it all. And it was... so incredible. It was so rewarding and fun, and I don't even know if anyone was listening. I think people were, but...
I'm sure Santa Maria is a big place.
Yeah, but it was online only.
Okay.
And our goal is to get to a terrestrial radio station in the next year or two.
Great.
So maybe one more year of practicing while we're online only, and then grow to a radio station, and then down the road start getting really good, honing it, and getting a job maybe at another school.
Now, Hancock also had a really good running back this year.
Cameron Artis Payne.
Right?
The kid was on fire.
Headed to Auburn?
Yes. Okay. He was recruited by UCLA, Auburn, University of Washington, Kansas State, BYU, and I think Utah State. And he always had wanted to be in the SEC. He loved California and he considered UCLA, but he really wanted to be in the SEC.
Got it. So you mentioned roller derby was a reason why you didn't do it at first. And I see this all over your Facebook page, this roller derby thing. And I actually have a mutual friend who also does roller derby, Rockin' Robin.
Rockin' Robin from Five City Roller Derby.
She's definitely a friend of Fansmanship, too. And so Tell me about roller derby. I remember watching it on TV when I was younger and thinking, like, this looks kind of cool, and there's, like, people there, and it's kind of a new sport.
Have you not gone yet?
No, I haven't gone
yet.
What? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So,
okay, well, the season's over.
Right, I knew that.
We pick up in March. Okay. We start our practices, get underway next week, and then we have our first two bouts of the year on the road in March and at home in March.
How would you describe it to people who have never even, like, because I feel like my generation saw it on TV when we were little.
And it was fake then.
It was fake then, but it was still kind of, like, I don't know, kind of entertaining and fun to watch.
It was totally entertaining. It was like world wrestling on skates with girls in miniskirts and fishnets.
And I was like 10, and it was great.
And it was hot, right? And I was like 20, and it was cool. Well, now it's very competitive. It's actually an athletic sport.
Okay.
It's sanctioned by a federation, Women's Flat Track Roller Derby Association.
Right.
And it's all over the country. It's all over the world now. I mean, I think there's...
So the sides aren't banked anymore.
There are banked tracks, but not many left. Okay. They're trying to bring them back, but it's very expensive to build and very expensive to insure, and it's dangerous.
Yeah.
And people like me, I couldn't play at my age.
Right.
And I'm the oldest one in my league, and I just started my seventh year. This is my seventh season playing, and I'm with Cal State Roller Derby in Santa Maria.
That's in Santa Maria. Okay.
I started my first 4.5 years with Central Coast Roller Derby, which is based in San Luis Obispo and Paso.
Got it.
And I left about 2 years ago to go down to Santa Maria with a newer team.
With a newer team.
It's amazing. And what it is now, and I describe it to people, is women's football on skates without a ball. Very competitive.
Right.
In fishnets and miniskirts. But you've got women of all shapes and sizes. I mean, any type of woman, any body type, any athletic ability, any sports background can play roller derby.
Yeah, I see, like, maybe it's the teams that are rolling together on, like, the Bob Jones Trail sometimes.
That's us.
Like, that's you guys, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen groups of women in pink and whatever colors.
Yeah, and we're always in the parades.
Yeah, and going on. And it seems like something that would be... You know, if you're doing it that consistently, it would be really good for you and really
it's
fun.
Oh, so good.
And to, you know, for just, you know, getting to know people around the community, it's got to be.
And we're very philanthropic. All the leagues around town, there are three. There's Cal State Roller Derby in Santa Maria, Five Skate Roller Derby in the Five Cities, and Central Coast Roller Derby in Paso and San Luis Obispo. We all give our money to charity. All the women pay to play. It's athletic. It's about sportsmanship. There are women that have never played sports and are now in their 20s and trying sports. And you know what? You know what sports means, whether you play or you watch. It teaches stress management, sportsmanship, goals, self-esteem, self-confidence. And that's really important for women. There aren't many ways for us to have that after college, unless you're really good at a sport.
Right, unless you're, like amazing, like world class or something.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
You can't even find pickup basketball in this area in a women's only league because women don't have the time because they're raising the kids and working now and doing the families and schlepping to all the events.
And in an area this small, I mean, it's just hard to, it's hard to find. What are, like, I remember there were, like, positions, like breakers and, like, some. Is that
there's
still?
There's blockers.
Blockers, okay.
There's pivot, and that's the lead blocker. That's the blocker in the front. And then there's the jammer. That's what
that's
I play.
The one.
And that's
okay.
The scorer.
Okay.
That's the woman with the star on the side of her helmet.
Okay. So you're the jammer.
I'm a jammer. There are five girls on each team on the rink at the same time. And it's like hockey with lineup changes every 2 minutes. And the woman with the star on her head is the scorer. She gets 1 point for every woman on the other team that she passes legally, physically.
Okay.
So if I pass all four of the other girls on the team and the jammer,
points.
I would get 5. If I didn't pass the jammer, I would get 4.
Okay.
And you go for up to 2 minutes.
Okay, and then you stop after 2 minutes.
You stop and you do a lead change.
Okay.
Yeah, but you can stop sooner than 2 minutes if the two girls that are jammers, because there's a jammer on each team at every jam, whoever gets through cleanly without a penalty first becomes a lead jammer.
Okay.
If neither girl can get through cleanly, doesn't matter who gets through first, and it goes 2 minutes.
Got it.
But if one of the girls does get through without a penalty, without committing a foul, then she becomes the lead jam. That means she can call the jam off before 2 minutes.
Oh, wow.
For strategy reasons.
Yeah.
If she gets tired, if she falls,
or
if the other woman's faster than her, passes her.
Right.
Sometimes you can get 5 points really quick, and you don't want them to get anything, so you'll
call
it off.
Yeah.
Right.
You win by five.
Exactly.
One of things,
5-0 every time is a great strategy. Right. Me, I like to get 15 every time.
Right.
I'm really a point hog, which is not the right way to play.
Cool.
It's definitely not.
So that happens, and the website, do you know the website for that off the top of your head?
Well, there are quite a few.
Yeah. If you Google Central Coast Roller Derby, or if you Google
Cal State
with a SKATE Cal Skate,
and Cal Skate, you can find on Facebook. And if you go to my Facebook page, which is Big C Little J, you can find Cal Skate that way, or you can find Cal Skate yourself just from Facebook. And then Central Coast Roller Derby has a website, and I think Five Cities Roller Derby has a website.
Cool. I got into a random sport. I would call roller derby kind of a random, kind of off the beaten path sport, but they're really fun.
It's extreme.
It's really fun, though.
Yeah, it is.
I got into curling when I lived in Colorado.
Really?
Not that it's like anywhere near.
Did you do it on skates?
I did it on my feet.
Okay,
on
my bare feet. Because you're on ice, right?
Yeah, you're on ice.
It's pretty slippery.
I fell a number of times, but some of those sports can be really fun to get into, to have fun with, and where do the competitions take place?
The ones in Santa Maria play at the Santa Maria Fair Park.
Okay.
And then we travel and play at skate rinks or sports courts at recreation centers. We don't have any of those kind of places here.
Right.
But we play at the fairgrounds, and it's affordable. It's usually $10 or $12 a person. It's a great, fun night, totally family-friendly. I say mini skirts and fishnets, but most of us are parents.
Right.
Most of us bring our kids in between periods. The kids are out on the track playing games. It's very friendly. It's saucy and sassy, but it's
like
not
that.
Naughty.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, if you're a parent, that's kind of important to know.
Yeah, that
and
makes sense.
It's a bunch of women that are empowered, and there's a sisterhood that forms, and it's really good for little girls. So when I have kids ask me for my autograph after the bouts, it's amazing because they can see that there are strong women out there, good role models.
Sure, sure. Do you guys like have like tryouts and things for new people to come in?
It's called Fresh Meat.
Okay.
And you come in.
Saucy, but not naughty.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
You come in and you learn everything, how to stop, how to fall, rules of the game, and then you have to go through a really significant physical test.
Okay.
It's woofed at a skills test, women's flat track roller derby skills test, and that's when we pass you. Then you get your name, because picking a derby name is an honor.
Right. I've seen a few on the back of your...
Oh, when you see us skating, yes.
Yeah.
And my derby name is Dodge Her Blue, Dodger Blue. And everyone calls me Blue. And my number is JR42, of course.
And I've heard you talk a lot about Jackie Robinson on your show.
Yes, April 13th, 2013, Jackie Robinson movie comes out. And 2 days later, Jackie Robinson Day in Major League Baseball.
Yeah. Right.
I'll be at Dodger Stadium the whole weekend.
And you always are.
Always. Yeah. It's my night.
And the Dodgers now always have a home game during that week,
right?
They
really try. They didn't at the beginning, but they do now.
They were in, like, New York 1 year.
It was horrible.
With Rachel Robinson.
It was a big mistake, yeah.
I don't know, yeah.
And I love her, but it was a big mistake. Yeah. Rachel's the wife and Sharon's the daughter. I was just moving, and I just unpacked two of my books, and Rachel gave me a book that he wrote, that she wrote. They wrote together with pictures, and she signed it. And then Sharon just came out with another Jackie Robinson book. And I'm really glad that we're keeping his legacy alive, because he did more for this country than anyone really understands, not just in baseball.
Yeah.
Civil rights, just
minorities.
Oh, my gosh. People of color being allowed to have dreams and do what they want to do. It's just amazing. And the fact that people still know about it, and now this movie's coming out, is going to be awesome. It's called 42, and it opens... April 13th.
Do you know who plays Jackie Robinson?
He's a kid that I don't know.
Okay,
he's not
cool.
A famous guy.
Cool,
yeah.
Right on.
Which is probably going to be neat.
Yeah.
I'm going to be giving away tickets. We're going to have a huge party. It's going to be so fun.
Right on. I heard you talk about, and I know we just have a few more minutes left, I heard you talk about, you know, there weren't avenues for women to get into play-by-play broadcasting.
No.
But over the last couple of years, you know, you've seen a woman do the Big Ten games on ESPN.
I think it's Beth Mowins.
Is that who she is? I don't know what her...
Syracuse.
Okay.
By the way.
Syracuse.
My alma mater.
Do you know Evan Makovsky? Do you know who he is?
No,
he's a Syracuse alum, and
he's probably your age,
sports radio. He was at 690 when I was, he makes for great podcasting when he starts just asking, do you know people?
Yeah,
but
he
does a show in St. Louis, I think. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so there are people there. Do you feel like there's a better avenue now than there was? It's not where you want it to be for sure, but do you feel like it's
at least...
You want
the truth?
You don't think so?
Well, I'm going to tell you the truth.
Okay.
And I'm going to lay it out, and it's going to be a little graphic.
Okay.
In TV, it's much more acceptable because men can look at the women, and they have time to see if they're pretty, if their boobs are big, how tight their pants are. And this is the truth. And they only talk for 20 or 30 seconds on the sideline. They ask the coach a couple
You're
questions.
You're talking about a sideline reporter.
Women in TV. That's usually their job. You've got a couple. You've got the Linda
with
Cones.
With this exception of, like, and that the woman who's doing the Big Ten games.
Right. The play-by-play, I mean, there's two, I think, ever.
Okay.
And Beth Mowins, and who's the other one? I don't know why her name hasn't come to me. It's basketball. I think it's Nancy Myers, one of the former players.
Yeah, Nancy Myers.
I think so.
Okay.
And in radio, there's no visual medium.
Right.
So men who talk about sports, listen to sports a lot, watch sports a lot, are pretty set in their ways thinking that women don't know about sports. It's just, it's a generalization, but it's pretty right on. There are always a few, like you being one of them, that accept that women can know just as much or more and still be interesting and knowledgeable. But in TV, they don't have to listen to them because it's short little blips. So an Erin Andrews, a Pam Oliver, Rachel Nichols, Bonnie Bernstein, Susie Colbert, they're very good at what they do. I'm not disparaging them, but it's they're very pretty, and that's where it starts.
Yeah.
And I never wanted to be that. I never wanted to be
You never wanted it to be like that. You wanted it to be on kind of your terms that way.
My terms, but also I wanted to
be... As an expert, as somebody who people respect.
I wanted to make people think, feel, agree, disagree, hate me, love me, laugh, cry. Whatever it might be, I didn't want it to be... I didn't want to ever get on any of those chat rooms, who's the prettiest sportscaster. I wanted to be on the chat rooms, if they're even there. What sportscaster knows her stuff the most? And they still pick all women in TV because there are so few of us. When I left the national network, the only person on national radio now is Dana Jacobson, and she started yesterday on the CBS radio network. She used to be on ESPN TV.
Right.
Elise Woodard in Seattle has a night show
Dana
or an
Jacobson
afternoon show.
Was on like Cold Pizza when it
started. She was at TV. Yeah. Elise Woodard's in Seattle in the afternoons. Amy Lawrence does a lot of fill-in work on ESPN. Christine Lisi does sports updates, but there's no talk show host.
And like Bonnie Bernstein fills in for Dan Patrick sometimes
and
stuff like that.
I'd like to do that. That would be so fun to sit with the Danettes for a day. Seton O'Connor was one of my producers when I was on ESPN. And Todd Fritz went to Syracuse with me and worked at ESPN with me.
Really?
Yeah, TV, when I first graduated from Syracuse.
I don't have cable anymore, but when I did, I used to watch those guys on TV.
And
but again, like, I feel like also the medium's being blurred now. They're broadcasting radio shows on TV, too, and so...
It's good, but it's bad.
Right.
It's less work. Why not have two shows instead of one?
Yeah, why not? And make more money on it and whatever, right? I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
So I'm not... downplaying what women are doing in TV. They're just moving forward quicker because they're beautiful. In radio, we're moving forward slower because you can't see us, which is silly.
Yeah, of course.
But if you listen to my shows, I've got as much knowledge as anyone else. I have big name guests.
Big name guests from being, I mean, you,
from
you,
all my
you
years.
John Clayton, who are some of the guys who you have
Lane
on?
Lane Kiffin. Bobby
recently.
Bowden, yeah. Mac Brown. I mean,
just
Steve
recently.
Kerr. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these are guys who any radio show would be stoked to get.
Yeah.
And we have them here in San Luis Obispo.
I bring them. Whatever it takes. I'm shooting for Mark Gottfried, head coach NC State basketball, coming up because there's a new video out called Running with the Pack, and it's a history of NC State basketball. And Bob Valvano, who's a good friend of mine, and just had a heart attack, by the way.
Oh, did he?
He's doing okay, but he just had a heart attack. His younger brother, older brother.
Does he still do the
overnights
on,
Yeah, okay. His brother, Jim Valvano, and they've got that wonderful thing every year that raises money for cancer research. He's part of this video montage, and they interview so many NC State guys. And so I'm hoping to get him on because this DVD is
awesome. Was
Gottfried
at Alabama before he was at NC State?
I don't remember where he was. Maybe. Right, yeah. But he's been at NC State for a while.
So you're shooting for him coming up? Okay.
And Chris Broussard. I think there are a lot of NBA guests, NBA stories right now that would be fun.
Yeah.
I'd like to get Lane Kiffin back just because I'd like to take a look back on the season and see what he thinks. Pete Carroll's due to come on the show soon. George Karl opened up the show with me, so it'd be nice to have him again. It just depends on who, you know.
Who's relevant at the time.
And who has time.
Yeah. And do you think it's going to be easier to maintain those top-level guests with a new time slot, or do you think?
I don't think it'll change at all. I don't think it'll be easier or better because I'll do a lot of that stuff. I had to tape more on Saturdays, but now I can do live. It just depends on availability.
Absolutely. CJ Silas, I know you got
to
run.
I really do. Believe it or not, I have a publicist now. I don't know how it happened. She's going to wake up and realize who she's dealing with. But we're trying to work on the ebook, and we're trying to work on marketing the show to get us syndicated.
That's really the goal.
The new show. I love it here, but I don't want to just be on here. I want to be on here and live here, but I want to get some more play, man. It's time. I've been doing this for a long time. I'm legit. It's not an act. And that's
your
my dog
agrees.
That's Indy.
Indy agrees, and on that note.
Do you
want to
be on the radio, Indy? Who's a good girl?
Hi, Indy.
Look at her little curious face. Are you going to give me
ears.
A cookie? Well, thank you, and I really do want you to come and co-host with me. Would you be into it?
I would love to, absolutely.
Soon.
Just
we can do a roundtable with Josh Groggan.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I love JD.
Yeah, absolutely. Really good people. I found there's a lot of really great people around sports. And And so
in this area,
in this
totally.
Area,
okay,
yeah,
so the CJ Silas Show, Wednesday nights on ESPN Radio 1280, 7 o'clock live, or on my podcast anytime at thecjsilasshow.com. You can find me on Twitter at CJ Silas. Facebook. If you just go to my website, The CJ Silas Show.
It has all the info there.
Yes. Absolutely. And make sure you put the, because only the big names put the in front of it. Have you noticed that? The Dan Patrick Show, The Jim Rome Show.
Well, okay, so you're from Southern California. Do you call it The Five? The
yes.
Highway? Yeah, The Five,
oh, yeah,
right?
The Five.
The big, only the biggest
the
highways.
Yeah, the 405, the 101.
Yeah.
Do you ever watch The Californians on Saturday Night Live?
I don't.
YouTube them. You'll die. You'll laugh so hard you'll pee your pants.
Awesome.
Thanks, Owen.
Thanks a lot, CJ. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Fansmanship.com podcast. For more news, opinions, and podcasts, go to www.fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright, they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue. You lift me up, don't bring me down. You give your love to everyone around. You send me on my way to Trouble Town. Love can't find my way around Trouble Town. Front page of the news.